Turn to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Last week we looked at the environment in which we have to practice the golden rule. And I mean, where we're to practice it and how we're to treat others. And we brought out that if we're to implement the golden rule, we have to internalize the principle set forth by Christ in our own moral faculties. And last week we looked at how important it is, if we're really going to follow Christ and obey this command, we got to get our mind right. It's got to be on the things of God. And as I thought about the next moral faculty, which is the heart, I always go back to the very first mention of the word heart in the Bible. And it's an uphill struggle on two accounts. All of us have a heart that is in our fleshly nature, that old nature, our heart was bad and wrong and sinful and wicked. And we still have those tendencies in our affections and in our desires because of a fleshly nature. So we've got to get our heart right in order to deal with people whose hearts aren't right. Now, you see the struggle there. Jesus, He didn't have a bad heart. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. His heart was set upon fulfilling the will of the Father. And He did it to perfection. I believe that Christ is impeccable. That He is God manifest in the flesh, and as such, He could not, He would not, He will not sin. But you know, we're not like that. Now, our position, we've been made right in Christ. But the fact is, there are times you and I, our hearts grow divided. They get cold. We get distracted. Our affections and desires, we get them off the things of the Lord. And sadly, we are easily distracted from loving God with all of our heart. But I always go back to this, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All of mankind, prior to the flood, were men, women, boys, and girls set upon evil. And it appears the only exception to this rule right before the flood was Noah, the builder of the ark, and his family, his immediate family, his sons and their wives. Can you imagine how depraved mankind must have been when the thoughts of their heart collectively, individually and collectively, were only evil continually. And the wickedness that must have run rampant. You know, we often make statements like this week, the past couple weeks, there's been shootings. Of course, you know, they always come up with this thing. They always blame everything but the person responsible. Listen, if you kill somebody, it doesn't have to be we don't have to investigate. It's a hate crime. You did it because your heart's wicked. You're ungodly. You're selfish and self-centered. And your heart's not right with God or man. And that's why these people do what they do. And were it not for the grace of God, you may be in the very same condition because of the wickedness of man's heart. It's not... And I thought about this today. Everybody says, "Oh, I don't think it's ever been this bad." It was this bad right before the flood. The thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. And I think we're reaching a threshold. You look at people today, realize there's probably two or three generations of kids now who hardly have ever darkened a church door. People aren't raising their kids in church anymore. They're not taking them to the house of God. They're not reading the Bible to them at home. They're not trying to be a spiritual influence. And what's the result? Well, when you have an emphasis of wicked hearts and wicked desires, there's a lot of confusion and a lot of hatred and cruelty. And I really believe that we're at a tipping point. Men's hearts are only evil continually. You realize how wicked it is, this transgender ideology. What kind of a wicked heart do you have to try to indoctrinate little kids into this kind of ideology that is against God, it's against nature, it's against the Scripture, it's just against classical mankind, civilization. And I think that's one of the reasons why kids are going crazy, why they're committing suicide, why they're going in places and shooting them up. They spend a lot of their time around people that are teaching them evil and ungodliness. And then when they're not in that environment and their hearts aren't soaking in that depravity, they're playing kill'em games all day. I don't see how any of that can help the heart, the desire, and the affections. And folks, this is what you and I, we've got to deal with people that hate us, whose hearts aren't right with God. See, I don't hate them. I believe that people need to be saved. And the only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And their heart has to be changed. But as I thought about all that today and was kind of trying to put it together, I thought, wow, you know, we've got a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. What man can know it? Our affections are often misplaced. So we got to deal with our flesh and crucify it and get our heart right. And then we got to deal with people whose hearts are completely estranged from God. How do we do it? Well, the only way is through the power of Christ. Our hearts, our affections, our desires must be moved and motivated by a sincere love for God and for others. It's the only way we're going to be able to practice the golden rule. You've got to love God more than anything or anyone in this world. It's the essence of the first and the greatest commandment, which I believe those two commandments, all the commandments, really reveal just how far short we fall of God's standard of excellence. But when you're saved, you ought to desire to and love the law of God from your inward man, from a new heart. We're to love God. Love the Lord our God with all our mind, soul, strength, and love others. And the second commandment is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And boy, when you see what's going on, it's hard to love people. When you start thinking about the evil designs that they have against the Lord, against your family. But Jesus Christ, He overcame. He looked beyond that. Because that's what our hearts weren't right when He saved us. So it is hard to love people at times. But when your heart is right with God, and you love Him more than anything or anyone, you will surrender and obey even in the most difficult of circumstances. And you'll do so with joy. Look over at 1 John chapter 5. Somebody prayed that tonight in their prayer. Look at 1 John chapter 5. And verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. How many commandments did you think about today? That you just couldn't wait to obey. See, our mind, we got to get our mind right, and we got to get our heart set on the commandments of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You know what's born of God? Your new nature. And it does overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If our hearts are set upon loving God, then we'll learn to love people in spite of their hatred and mistreatment of us as we strive to resemble the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and be conformed to His image. Turn back to Luke chapter 6. And I think these are some worst case scenarios that Jesus gives, and why it's so important that our hearts are right if we're going to deal with people whose hearts aren't right. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. But I say unto you which hear. You know what? Not everybody hears. Not everybody's had their ears open to the truth. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Now, these are some worst case scenarios, okay? Think of the worst enemy you have. I mean, I don't think about my enemies that much. I know I'm sure I've got some. But think about somebody that absolutely detests you and would love to see you dead. All right? Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Jesus did this because you were His enemy. You were a hater of God. But His heart was such that He loved us in spite of our mistreatment of Him, His law, the gospel. And this is what He's calling us to. It's why He's giving us these statements. He says, "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." Well, your heart's got to be right if you're going to obey these commands. Your affection for God, your desire for His Word operating in you, that's got to be the priority if you're going to obey these commands. Sad thing is, a lot of people today, they just don't have a heart for God's commandments. That's why we're not having revival. The heart of many is waxed cold. Verse 31, "And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." And he gives you he frames it up by saying, you know what? If you just only do good to those that do good to you, that's just a reciprocal kind of thing. You need to go above and beyond, like I have, like Jesus. And our heart has to be right to do it. Well, I'm going to stop there tonight. Well, next week, we're going to get on to how our will must be surrendered. So far, we've looked at our mind and our heart, these moral faculties. And again, it's not the organ that pumps blood. It's the real you inside, what your affections and desires are. And they got to be set on the Lord if we're really going to obey this. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you.